Not only does an administrator appeal to higher needs, but an administrator talks in pictures. Effective motivators talk in figurative language rather than abstract details. Jack Kennedy didn't talk about spending money on space exploration, but about putting a man on the moon in 10 years. That picture caught our imagination and motivated an entire nation. Then an administrator pursues goals prudently. They're like the old man in the fable who was traveling with a child and a donkey. As they passed through the first village, the man led the donkey and the child walked behind. The villager said the old man was a fool for not riding his sturdy beast of burden, so he climbed on seeking to please the crowd. In a second village, people said the old man was cruel to the child, making him walk while enjoying the ride himself. So the man got off and put the child on the animal's back. In the third village, the consensus was that the child was lazy because he was forcing the old man to walk. So in that village, they both rode. In the fourth village, the bystanders said the poor donkey was overworked. The man was last seen carrying the donkey down the road. It's important to listen to the will of the people, but it can get out of hand. When two people think together, their thoughts somehow combine into ideas bigger than both of them. The wise administrator will take the initiative to set goals, but never form those goals in solitude. And then an administrator sets worthy goals. And then the administrator works backwards. It's easy to find a path through a maze if you start at the end and work backwards to the starting point. Most children who spend much time with puzzle books know that. An administrator determines the steps to be taken to reach a goal. A good administrator establishes the goals and then works backwards to develop a path to reach these goals. And then an administrator thinks about vital details. When I was a boy, my family owned a retail hardware store. That's where I learned the nuts and bolts of the business. I learned to pay attention to little things. I saw the problems that resulted when I didn't. And then one other thing. An administrator leads. At this point, we want to give you opportunity to utilize some of the information that you have been listening to and digesting over these last few hours. I want to give you some case studies. First case study is entitled, A Case of Job Burnout. A major concern facing managers in all organizations, regardless of size, is a phenomenon known as job burnout. Within the past 10 years, burnout has become an issue as more and more workers are falling out of love with their jobs. They are burned out. The job is no longer meaningful in an employee's mind. The result? Hold on to the job. Perform minimally or fade into obscurity and seek another position. The concern about job burnout is being fed by the increased demand for productivity from workers. Simply, workers who are burned out are not going to be effective in the workplace. In turn, organizations staffed by a large percentage of workers suffering from burnout will hit the income statement where it counts, the bottom line. When an employee is suffering from burnout, there are a number of recognizable symptoms. Generally, these symptoms would include the following. Number one, the person tires easily and appears fatigued. Number two, the person works harder but accomplishes less. Number three, the person feels depressed or sad without any apparent cause. Number four, the person has chronic physical problems, headaches, backaches, ulcers. Number five, the person has a conscious need to be busy. Number six, the person puts off routine things such as returning phone calls, writing letters, reading reports. And finally, the person is increasingly irritable, short-tempered, and critical of people. More important than the symptoms are the causes of job burnout. The first cause cited is the result of individuals who come into a job with high expectations and then see the expectations cannot be met, and then gradually experience burnout. Burnout is also caused by societal changes in which people have higher expectations of personality being fulfilled in their jobs. They see satisfaction in life in terms of work, and to seek a sense of mastery of the job, a sense of impact. The top candidates for burnout are people who take on a demanding job with high enthusiasm and expectations, and then invest too much of themselves. As the workers meet obstacles to the success that they envision, they gradually become disillusioned and deeply cynical about their jobs. Perhaps another case that we could share, working at cross purposes. Checking down the list of companies reads like a corporate who's who: Procter & Gamble, Aetna Life and Casualty, Honeywell, Apple Computer, PepsiCo, and IBM. The common link among these progressive companies is that they have a variety of programs to improve the work environment and ultimately increase motivation and improve morale. The programs focus on providing flexibility with the time frame that the job is done and who does the job. They've been created to help employees balance the shifting demands of work and family. The options include flex time, job sharing, work-at-home options, and four-day work weeks. But what the organizations are finding out is that they have another common ingredient. One inflexible object can blunt the whole effort: a manager who does not buy into the program. Organizational officials state that gaining support for these flexibility options is a global issue. The relationship with the first-line manager is the key. The best flex time program in the world cannot meet the employee's needs if the supervisor sends out a subtle or overt message of disapproval to an employee who wants to take full advantage of the program. This situation of a company working at cross purposes with itself has gotten top management's attention. These programs are not viewed as soft, fuzzy benefits. Rather, it has become a bottom-line issue. The company wants to recruit and keep valued employees in a tightening labor market. In a tight labor market, the competition for key employees is fierce. Combined with this is the fact that most organizations fear it costs 93% of an annual wage to train an employee. When that figure is added to the employee's salary, it amounts to nearly double cost for the first year of an employee's tenure at a company. The other end of the organizational structure is the key player in the situation, the first-line supervisor. The one person charged with implementing the program and the culprit charged with blunting the effort. When a group of first-line managers was surveyed, frequently recorded comments included, "If I do it for one, I have to do it for everybody." And the program creates problems in scheduling. It takes an awful lot of adjustment. This brings us to the end of number 10.